إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم ومن والاه بعد. My dear brothers and sisters, we are talking about the issue of spiritual wealth, the kind of wealth we have, the kinds of goals we set in life. And as I mentioned, we have financial goals, we have career goals, we have goals with regard to all kinds of material things. Health-wise, we have certain goals to say, I should have this kind of body and so on, and what I should be doing. But we do not seem to have spiritual goals, and that is a very, first of all, very amazing thing, because since we profess to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the meeting with Him, how is it that we don't have goals about that aspect of ourselves, of our being, which is going to last? Our finances will be left behind when we die. Our bodies will be finished when we go. What remains is our ruh, the spirit. And for that spirit, we have no goals. So, last 2 days we were talking about that in terms of ensuring that we have such goals, or at least we should be conscious of this. Today I want to try to briefly talk about the indicators that we should watch. And the indicators we should watch is to give you an example of that. For example, if you are feeling extremely hungry, say you haven't eaten for the whole day, and at the end of the day, instead of food, if somebody shows you a nice 16 screen or something, three dimensional pictures of your favorite dishes, of the favorite food that you like to eat, three dimensional images of that. And then there is also an aroma machine where the aroma of the food also you smell. What will that do to your hunger? Will it relieve the hunger, or will it increase the hunger? You are not getting any food. You are actually seeing these beautiful images of the food, three-dimensional images, and smell is also coming. So will it increase the hunger or decrease the hunger? Very logically, it will increase. Hunger cannot be filled, or hunger cannot be assuaged by looking at images of the food. The example I am giving, because the hunger of the spirit is like the hunger of the body. And that hunger of the spirit is what we feel when we feel all kinds of things that we can't explain. There is no medical explanation for it. For example, you feel depressed. There are medical reasons why you feel depressed also. So, by all means, if that is the case, go and get checked up. But the vast majority of depression has nothing to do with medicine. You feel depressed, you feel anxious, you know, people have anxiety attacks and so on. You feel sad, huzun is one issue. You feel a sense of a lack of, a loss of ambition, you know, a loss of energy, what we call plateauing. People say midlife crisis. Now, all of these and many such psychosomatic illnesses, and some of these things also produce reactions in the body. So the body actually gets sick. For example, one of the most common reasons for back pain, for lower back pain, is actually internal anxiety. One of the most common reasons for aphthous ulcers, you know, the ulcers you get in the mouth, small white ulcers, extremely painful. It's a small thing, but it's very, very painful. One of the major causes of that is again anxiety and stress, and what some doctors call unconscious stress. So I first, as I told him, unconscious stress is an oxymoron, because if you're not conscious of it, how is it stress? So, it's but anyway, that's the terminology. So there is a physical manifestation, actual physical reason why, and the actual reason for that is not medical, it's psychological. the body is making you do that, right? Now, all of these can be traced to what I call spiritual hunger. It is your ruh giving you messages. It is your spirit giving you messages that I am hungry, I am starving, I am sick. Do something about it, right? But we don't understand those messages. So what do? For some people, one drug is shopping. I am always very amazed at the accuracy of Western terminology. But unfortunately, we don't open our eyes. What is the English language terminology for our kind of life today? Rat race. I mean, even he's calling it a rat race. He's not saying this is a wonderful thing, great, you are racing for Jannah, no. And that's why they say that, you know, even if you win, you are still a rat. Right? Dog eat dog. Not dog eat bone at least. You know, dog eat. Dog eat dog. Top dog. Who is the CEO of a company? Top dog. Right? Now imagine, this is the terminology. I mean, if you can't, how much English do you need to know to understand the term top dog is not a nice term? But this is a term used with great, So, the whole issue of this is even the terminology is telling us something is wrong. So, what is the terminology for this kind of mindless shopping? Retail therapy. Retail therapy. Who goes to therapy? Therapy means what? Therapy means something is wrong, so you are sick, you need medicine. Right? I mean, you won't tell me, please come home tonight for therapy. You might say jokingly, come for food therapy, that's a joke, that's fine. But you won't invite somebody for dinner, please come for therapy, no. If you are sick, you go for therapy. Now, the person selling the stuff is telling you this is shopping therapy, retail therapy. So, you must ask yourself, if I am going for retail therapy, then something is wrong with me. Buying some junk which I don't need to impress people I don't like. One of my quotes, somebody sent it to me, I believe it's going on the internet. This life is buying things you don't need to impress people you don't like, and then one day you leave it all behind, which is a fact. But we still do it. For some people it's that. For other people it is maybe, you know, movies or internet or something like that. And then of course the negative cycles, people take to alcohol, they take to all kinds of, clearly, I mean, these are also wrong, but obviously the other things are even worse. Now, all of these, actually what they need? They need food for the soul. The soul needs healing. The soul is sick. The soul is hungry and starving. And just the example, that's why I gave you the example of the pictures of food. The body needs actual food. So, one dry piece of bread will do more for the body than looking at 25 pictures of beautiful dishes on a TV screen. Right? One slice of bread will do something for your hunger, but looking at the pictures only makes it worse. So, the soul needs food. Trying to find that solace for it, trying to find the solution for it in things to do with the body only make it worse. They don't make it better. No matter how much of junk you buy, it's not going to solve your problem as far as the soul is concerned. And what is the food of the soul? The food of the soul, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. Allah said the food of the soul is the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is tilawatil Qur'an, it is the zikr of the asma wa sifatillahi ta'ala, it is salah, it is tahajjud, it is nawafil. It is simply the dhyan, the simply thinking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, tawajjuh ilallah. This is the food of the soul. How much time do we take out on a daily basis to do that? And I'm not talking about the first salawat. First salawat is the boundary condition. I'm talking about other than first salawat. How much time do we take out on a daily basis to do this? And I can tell you easily, if you want, you can take out at least 1 hour a day for the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without any problem. And there are so many ways of doing it. You know, at least sometime after each for salah, or according to me, the best thing is wake up for tahajjud, pray 2 rakat of tahajjud, or 4 or 8, whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives tawfiq for, and then sit and read Quran until the time for Salatul Fajr, and come and pray Salatul Fajr in the masjid, go to the masjid. Now that's easy, that whole time is easily 1 hour. 1 hour a day is 365 hours in the year. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. So dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is food for the soul, right? So very, very important for us to be engaged in that. Thinking about the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is food for the soul, because the soul wakes up for that. One day I have to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what did Allah say about the people who like to meet Him? يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَةِ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, people who look forward to the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, people who want to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this He said with relation to what? لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. For whom is this? لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَةِ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. This is for the people who follow the sunnah of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So following the sunnah is again food for the soul, right? So this is very, very important for us to do that. And then the issue of sickness of the soul is also to think about, because the soul becomes sick because we are living in a toxic atmosphere. We are living in a toxic atmosphere. We are living in an atmosphere where the soul is continuously being harmed. It is being harmed by what we see. Every time you see something haram, this goes to the soul. Every time you listen to something haram, this goes to the soul. This is happening constantly in our lives. I am not even talking about somebody, you know, going to some gana party. Even the one who is not doing it, he or she is hearing something somewhere. This is continuous. This has become now almost sort of given in our lives. You go out on the street, you see something which you should not be seeing. Right? You open the newspaper, you see something. So it is very important to guard yourself, consciously guard yourself and say, I will not look at anything which is haram. I will not listen to anything which is haram. Right? Look, that is why, imagine, think about this. Why is it that Allah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us that to look at a ghair mahram, a non-mahram woman, a second time is haram? First time is accidental, somebody comes before you, it's okay, but second time is haram. Now we have gone to such a level of disgrace. Somebody told me the other day that there was a case in the US of a Muslim school where the teacher was a male teacher. He married secretly, and then of course it came out, one of the grade 10 girls, his own students. Great, this girl is 15 years old. This man is an alim. He is teaching her Islamic studies. Right? Now, why was the man teaching and so on is a different story. Leave that aside. But I am saying, here is a man who is teaching Islamic studies to these girls, and then, of course, some boys also in the class. Now, he married this 15. Now, when he is confronted with this, he is giving a Sharia explanation. He is saying that multiple marriages are permitted in the Sharia. And the girl has attained puberty, she is mature. Now what must you do with this? Tell me. Is that Sharia, that explanation, is it acceptable? Because before that explanation, the question to be asked there is, first of all, what was the intention of the parents who sent the girl to that school? Was it for you to marry her? What was your role as a teacher? Was it to guarantee the safety of those children? Or to be a predator and prey on those children like a wolf on sheep? What even gave you whether the man should teach the girls or not is a different question. The question is, as an alim, as a man, did you not know that even to look at that girl a second time was haram for you? So you should have guarded your eyes, you should have looked at the floor, or you should have asked for some screen before you, or you should have said, sorry, I'm sorry, I don't think I am capable of teaching these people, I am not interested, I will not teach. You can do that, no? So you sit there, you teach them, you are looking at the girl, you are lusting after her, your thoughts and everything else, and then you persuade her to marry you, and then you want to give the Sharia as an explanation. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. I mean, there is a level to the zalalat that we can fall. All of this because the soul is sick. You memorize the Quran is only gone, hasn't gone below the throat. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam explained this. You may have read the Siyah Sitta kitabs, you may have read all kinds of books, and you are this mufti and that mufti, and Allah mentioned that also in the Quran. كَمَثَلِ الْهِمَارِ يَحْمِلُ أَسْفَارًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said they are like donkeys loaded with books. All those kitabs are only a burden. No effect of the kitab in the actual actions or the manners or the akhlaq or the person of the one who has read those kitabs. Because soul is sick. The soul is sick. So you even take the religion which Allah has blessed you with and you twist it for your own ends. And then you want to give a shara'i dalil for this. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. So very important. Guard your eyes. Guard. Do not look at something. What Allah made haram is haram. Khalas. Don't look at it. Don't worry about who gives you what dalil. Sorry, I don't look at this. Don't listen to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited. And don't say, no, but you see, I was doing this, I was in this chat room on Facebook, or I was in chat room somewhere and I was giving da'wah to this sister. What sister? No need for you to give da'wah to the sister. Let the sister give da'wah to the sister. Pure Muslim aurat mar gaya. Tumhari tum hi bache khali da'wah dene ke waste. Are badmashi ki harkat hai. Hadai. Seriously. No need, no sister, no brother. You are supposed to be, as far as you are concerned, what Allah has prohibited is prohibited. A chat room on the internet is like a physical room in the world. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if there is a man and a woman who are not related in a room, the third one is shaitan. And they say, Ya Rasulullah, what if the woman is pious? He said, even if the woman is Maryam alayhi salam, this applies. Now what more do you want to say? So all of these excuses that we give, no, I was only chatting for this reason, I was only chatting for that reason. If somebody sends you a message, do not even say, Wa alaikum assalam. No need, just block. No need. If they are sending you a message, they also know. There are any number of sources that they can go to. Why do they come to you? Do not even say, Wa alaikum assalam. Block the message, khalas. No need. Whether it's a message from a man to a woman or a woman to a man, you know, as far as you are concerned, that person is not a mahram to you. Halas. All of these are signs of sickness of the soul. And believe me, as I said the other day, you can have a beard like Vivili Vinky and you can have a turban like the dome of Masjid al-Aqsa, it still won't help you. It doesn't matter. How many kitabs you studied, which Darul Uloom you came from, which madrasa, which what. If you are doing something which has been prohibited by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is haram. Rasulullah did not even place himself out of the boundary of the Sharia. Not that he did anything to break the boundary of the Sharia, but I am saying even for himself. He said, the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is applicable even to me and my family. And how is it that you and I think that the Sharia does not apply to me because I am an alim? It applies to you 10 times more. The punishment that you will get will be much more than the punishment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give to some jahil, poor fellow who did not know he did something. But the one who knows and then who twists the law, or he thinks he twists the law, he's not twisting anything, it's not his law. But he thinks he can play this game with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sorry, it doesn't work. All signs of sickness of the soul. And therefore, avoid all of this, and then how to begin the cure? Make tawbah. Allah has made it very easy. Alhamdulillah, Allah made it very easy. Whatever you may have done, make tawbah. Those you harmed, go make restitution. Go compensate them for it. Go fall at their feet. Do whatever it takes to make sure that they forgive you. And then make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, al-musta'an. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy and forgiveness is boundless. We don't put any limits on this. When Allah himself did not put any limits on it, whatever you did, if you make tawbah, inshallah al-musta'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive you and will forgive me, and we have complete yaqeen in this, inshallah. But we have to do that. We can't just sit around and, you know, one day it will, no, it won't happen. It will not happen. And if you die in that state, then subhanallah, wallahi, may Allah protect us from that. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to focus on those things which are important for us and to take us away from all the distractions of this dunya and focus us on to Himself, Jalla Jalaluhu. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.